Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Tipsy Ghost. We're your tipsy hosts, Sarah, and Lindsay.
Hey, guys.
Hi. So I came across an Instagram post earlier, and it said, what's a weird smell that you like? So first, I want your answers.
Okay. I kind of like the smell of, like, alcohol prep pads.
Yes.
Gasoline.
Yes. I love the smell of gasoline.
I love the smell of gasoline.
When it rains, like a fresh spring.
Wet cement. Wet asphalt. What? Like when it rains, like the smell of the streets when it rains.
Yes.
My mom loves that smell. I hate it.
Okay. So some of the comments, though, I wanted to go over some. The distant smell of a hotel indoor pool.
Oh, like that chlorine? No. Yes. No. I hate the smell of chlorine.
Someone said gasoline.
Yes. It's popular.
My dog's paw.
Okay, I've heard people say this, and that they smell like Fritos.
Yes, and I have never once smelled my dog's paw.
I tried that, and I don't think it smells like Fritos.
I don't want to get my
nose like up in their grooves like people do when they smell like Fritos. I can't confirm, is what I'm saying.
But Fritos don't smell good to me.
Like corn chips.
You think Fritos smell good?
Fritos are my favorite food.
I like them. They don't smell good.
Hold on. I did not know that about you. It was your favorite food?
Yeah. I mean, if you mix it with things, but like I will eat Fritos all day, every day.
I like them for dipping and then with chili, but that's it. Like I'm not going to just eat Fritos by itself.
With chili. Now I want some chili.
I made it last week.
And then someone said, y'all remember Payless Shoe Store?
Oh, yes. Like rubber? Like the leather. Yeah. I was thinking leather.
Old library books.
Yes, obviously. I should have said that one. That's obvious.
Recently, I agree with this. Recently extinguished matches.
And okay.
I will light a match just so I can smell it.
So in college.
Never done that.
When we had to like share bathrooms or whatever, we would keep matches in there and you'd light it after you poop. Mm-hmm. And then you would put it in the toilet after a few seconds and it would get rid of the poop smell.
Huh.
That's our trick.
Okay. I've heard of that.
Yep. It worked.
Paper when it comes out the printer.
I do love the smell of paper.
Yes.
No thanks.
The smell when you walk into Lowe's. And if this transfers to Home Depot, then yes, the smell of freshly cut wood.
Yeah, I get that.
I love it.
That smells good.
Oh, the old Disney VHS cases.
Okay. Ew, no, and I know that smell. No.
I don't love it. It's just like nostalgic.
It's nostalgic.
Yeah.
I thought of another weird one for me.
Okay.
The top of a baby's head.
Okay. I can get down with that.
Fresh cut grass.
I do love that. I feel like that's a popular one. Lots of people love the smell of that.
The 90s jelly sandals.
No. Okay, yeah. I liked those. Yes. They're a little sweet smelling.
Yes. No. Mm-hmm. Sweet and plastic.
Mm-hmm. Plastic.
Ooh, do you remember the strawberry shortcake dolls?
Yeah. Yes.
Strawberry plastic smell.
The plastic smell of beach balls and pool floats.
No.
Eh. Love that as well. Clothes after a bonfire.
Okay. I don't love that smell.
I don't hate it.
Hose water.
What?
Hose water.
It's definitely got a distinct, but I thought it was like more of a taste. Are you okay?
A gardening hose.
A garden hose water. Water from a garden hose.
No, because I think of like drinking out of that. And I did it all throughout my childhood. No, me it's too. Gross.
No, I crave that.
No, the smell of it? Ugh.
There are certain restaurants, and they're few and far between, that have hose water.
Served to you in glasses.
Mike's grandma's house, their water that they get from the faucet tastes like hose water. And I love it so much.
It's probably full of so many minerals.
I do not care.
I hate the smell of it. Mm-mm.
Play-Doh?
No, hate it.
I don't hate the smell of Play-Doh.
And we'll end on chloroform.
Have not smelled it.
I haven't either, but I don't recommend it.
No.
I feel like it's frowned upon.
All right, you got a story for us?
I do.
I can't wait.
I'm kind of excited about it. Have you heard of the Great Molasses Flood of 1919?
I have not.
No.
Do you know what molasses is?
Like syrup.
Yes, I do know what it is.
Yeah. So it's mostly used in baking or like known for baking.
It mm-hmm. comes from trees.
Sugarcane, trees, all the things.
It doesn't smell good on the thing of smells.
Molasses, does it?
I don't like the smell of molasses and syrup.
Hold on. You mean sweet?
Have you ever had molasses cookies? I love those.
Have I had those? Probably.
That was my brother's favorite cookie growing up.
But yeah, like the super, super, it's too sweet smelling for me. I don't like
syrup. I really enjoy molasses. Anyway, so it's a sweetener that's thick and sticky. Fun fact. When you ferment molasses, it produces ethanol.
Ooh. Okay.
Okay. Yes. Which is present in alcoholic drinks, right?
I am familiar with that.
And it was also used to make certain types of explosives in World War One.
I was actually thinking this is World War One area.
Era.
Era?
Yes.
Yeah, that too.
It's the area of World War One.
It's the area and it's the era. We don't know where this is.
True. Good point.
We're going to go to Boston's North End, which is on the harbor side, January 1919.
The harbor.
Ooh.
Okay. That's what else good. You got?
Thank you. No, that's it.
How do you say molasses in Bostonian?
It doesn't have R's, so I don't know. Well, I only know stuff with R's in it. Wouldn't it just be molasses? I don't know.
Okay.
Okay. So the Purity Distilling Company had a molasses tank just off the harbor. So when a ship brought in a fresh batch of molasses, it could easily be transferred to the holding tank and stay there until it was needed at their ethanol plant. The tank is huge.
Okay. How huge?
50 feet tall, 90 foot diameter.
It's pretty big.
Holds about 2.3 million gallons of molasses.
It's a lot.
I can't even picture.
The average water tower, picture a water tower.
I got it.
Holds 1 million gallons.
Wow. This held how much?
2.3.
So 2.3 times that.
So over two
twice as big
water towers.
Gotcha. That helps.
Worth of molasses.
That's a lot, of molasses.
It is.
So, it feels thick.
It's thick and sticky.
Yeah.
Kind of wet.
Okay.
So in order to transfer it from the ship to the holding tank, at least in this case in winter in Boston, because it's January, they had to warm the molasses, which would make it thinner, so it'd be easier to work with.
Makes sense.
They received the shipment in January on the 14th. January 15th, just after noon, the tank bursts open.
Dun, oh, no. Dun, dun.
Molasses everywhere.
You just wait.
Molasses on their asses.
I bet.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Witnesses report that they felt the ground shake and they heard a roar like a passing train as it collapsed and then a sound like a machine gun as the rivets shot out of the tank.
Oh my God.
I would not expect it to go shooting out of the tank. I'm thinking slow. No. It's so thick.
But remember, it had to be warmed yesterday.
Yeah. It was still warm the next day. I'm gathering.
It was. This resulted in a gigantic wave of molasses. And because molasses is fairly dense, with all of the pressure, it was strong and destructive.
I bet it was.
The wave was reported to be as high as 25 feet
at its peak. Oh my gosh. A wave.
And moved at 35 miles an hour.
That is a tsunami of molasses.
It is.
That's a lot faster than I would think it would move.
Wow. So, just in case you're doubting it, Harvard did a study in 2016 that concluded that, yes, these reports were credible. It was possible that that much molasses at these temperatures with this weather could move like that.
I mean, I trust Harvard. They're pretty smart people.
There you go.
That is horrifying.
So strong that buildings were swept off their foundations and everything else in its path was crushed.
By molasses.
God.
Several blocks were flooded with molasses at a depth of 2 to 3 feet. It's like standing molasses, 2 to 3 feet. And it covered everything.
It's a pool.
Like all the things. The Boston Globe reported that people were picked up by a rush of air and hurled many feet. A truck was thrown into the Boston Harbor.
Oh. That's like a lot of power to throw a truck.
It is. The science behind it is because, so we think of waves with water, right? But molasses is more viscous, so it's more dense, which means that it's got more potential pressure behind it, which is why it's stronger, especially whenever it comes from an exploded tank.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, it's January in Boston. So after that initial wave, the molasses became more viscous, thickened, which trapped those who were caught in the wave and made rescue efforts extremely difficult.
You mean that our National Guard was not prepared for a molasses tsunami in Boston?
Not quite.
What do we even, why do we have them?
They are probably prepared now.
I bet you would have been prepared as a young child.
Of course. I think of everything. All the things. If there was anything to think about, I have thought about it.
Okay.
About 150 people were injured, and 21 people, along with several horses, were killed, mostly either crushed or drowned.
Drowned in molasses.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
You can't breathe under molasses. It's all in your lungs.
I mean, that sounds terrible. It sounds absolutely terrible.
It does. It was. The wounded included people, horses, and dogs, and coughing fits were the most common longer-term issue for those who survived. The first on scene were cadets who were training on a ship for the Massachusetts Nautical School. They were followed by the Boston Police, the Red Cross, the Army, and the Navy.
Yeah.
Responders entered into the knee-deep flood to pull out survivors. Doctors ended up turning a nearby building into a makeshift hospital because there were so many injured people. But again, it's cold and it's molasses. The molasses is thickening, which is making it difficult for responders to make their way through to help the victims. So by 4 days into the search, many of those who had perished were so glazed over in molasses that they were hard to recognize.
Oh, gross.
Other victims who were swept into the Boston Harbor were found 3 to 4 months later, and it took weeks to clean up the immediate area and even longer to clean up the rest of the Boston area and its suburbs. Cleanup crews used salt water from a fireboat to wash away the molasses and then used sand to absorb it. And local folklore reports that for decades after, on hot summer days, you could still smell the molasses.
I'm sure you probably could.
So I bet you're wondering how this happened.
How could this happen?
I will tell you. There's several contributing factors.
Okay.
The tank may have leaked from the first day that it was filled in 1915 because it was poorly constructed.
So for 4 years, it was just steadily leaking?
Carbon dioxide production from the fermentation process could have raised the internal pressure.
Yeah, that sounds right.
The day before the explosion.
No idea what that means.
The day before the explosion, the temperatures ranged from 2 degrees to 40 degrees, which could also increase the pressure within the tank.
That would have been my guess. The fluctuating temperatures.
Yes. The failure came from a manhole cover near the base of the tank, as well as a crack in the tank. And they both just got worse under pressure until they couldn't withstand it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Under pressure.
Yes.
Pushing down on me.
Maybe it's where they got this inspiration.
Yes, that's
the great molasses flood of 1919. Yes.
They're like, listen, let's think about something being under pressure. You know what? That molasses flood.
Yeah. The tank had only been filled to capacity 8 times in its life, which put the walls under an intermittent load. So like they would expand and then shrink and then expand and then shrink. And then that caused issues with the safety behind it. Also, basic safety checks were neglected, including simply filling the tank with water to check for leaks right after it was built.
Like a simple thing to do.
Or looking into the cause of a groaning sound that happened each time it filled.
Oh, no. That's not good at all.
Do you hear that?
Yeah. No. I don't know what you're talking about. Turns out that they knew about the leak because the tank had to be painted brown to hide the leaking molasses. And it was bad enough that locals came with their little jars and collected molasses to use at their homes.
Oh, so it was a well-known leak.
It was known. An investigation in 2014 revealed that the steel was half as thick as it needed to be for a tank of its size. So those are all some of the issues leading up to this explosion. And soon after the accident, 119 residents brought a class action lawsuit against the United States Industrial Alcohol Company, which had bought Purity Distilling in 1917.
I mean, it sounds like they cut corners and they knew about it.
I think you're right.
Thank you.
Some say that they were trying to outrace prohibition, which would go into effect the next year. So maybe they were taking shortcuts to rush the fermentation process in order to sell off as much alcohol as possible before it was legal to do so.
Okay.
The company claimed that the tank had been blown up by anarchists because some of the alcohol produced was to be used in making munitions in the war. Ultimately, they were found responsible for the disaster and paid about $628,000 in damages, which is roughly $10.6 million today. Relatives of those killed reportedly received about $7,000 per victim, which is roughly $118,000 today. And the case ended up being one of the first class action lawsuits in Massachusetts and is considered a milestone towards modern corporate regulation.
I should hope so.
And the area today is now a large recreational park with a small plaque commemorating the accident.
Does it still smell like molasses on hot days?
We'll have to ask the Bostonians.
We went to Boston briefly in October. I didn't smell molasses.
It wasn't summer.
That's true. That was our bad.
Also, I didn't know about this. Or I would have looked.
And now we do. Who knew that molasses could cause such devastation?
Why do they need that much in one container?
To produce alcohol and munitions.
Seems a little extreme.
Yes.
They were asking for it, unfortunately.
They were.
I mean, it sounds like they knew. They knew that it was a problem. They were like, yeah, oh well.
And they said, well, it'll be fine. It's always fine till it isn't. It's probably one of those things where they were like, let's ignore it until something happens. But they didn't expect, probably, that people would die when the tank exploded.
I don't know how they didn't, if all that molasses went out into the wild.
They probably didn't think that it would be like a tsunami of molasses. I mean, who would think that? I would think that it would come out slowly, like, because it's so thick, but mm-hmm. Who would have thought?
It's just bizarre to me how much molasses was there and, like, the devastation.
How'd you hear about this? I've never heard about this.
The internet.
Oh, of course.
I was researching history because I'm a six wing five and found this accident, this little episode in history.
I had no idea. I never knew about it.
Yeah, never heard of it. Interesting.
And then I had to look up all about molasses and what it's used for and it's the physics behind molasses.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes, you are welcome.
You guys are definitely five and wing five. I'm like four in the morning. Oh, crap. I got to do a story.
I appreciate the whys behind the story. Thank you.
It's the only way I can understand it.
I know, me too.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that. That'll You're be welcome. A great thing for trivia night.
Yes.
Hey, in what year did...
Was there a molasses flood in Boston? The answer is 1919.
1919.
January.
Got it. And
also, that helps remind you about what year was Prohibition started?
1920.
Mm-hmm. I did know that one. All right, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in this week to our Smorgasbord episode. You can always find us at The Tipsy Ghost and find our socials linked from there, or you can send us an email at thetipsyghost@gmail.com.
Please give us a 5-star rating and a great review anywhere you listen to podcasts. We really appreciate it, and it really does help.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. We'll catch you next week.
Okay, bye.
Bye.